Om Tat Sat means everything is Sat. Everything is a manifestation of the One Being. The One Being emanates a hypersphere of vibrational energy with information, and it becomes a holographic simulation with all of time present instantaneously in that dimension of pure awareness. Sat, the truth of being, is finally revealed in the simulation itself, and that is what we celebrate on Maha Shivratri. At the very end of this five-act drama that Shiva has written and cinematographically created, the revelation of all truth is given to all who seek that. And there is universal salvation for all the lost souls who have disconnected from their being, who have no knowledge of the real, who have no love in their heart to be able to rise in devotion, but all are picked up and brought into the light. None is left behind. And the world of suffering is brought to an end, and a new world emerges instantaneously. Shivoham means that Shiva is not only transcendent of the world, not only the creator of the world, but sustains the world through intervening in the process of entropy and guides and directs the process of time miraculously through the avataric appearance of sages who offer clues to the understanding of the code that, once broken, enables one to be free of the illusion of Maya. Those who understand how to gather the clues, how to connect the dots, how to open the heart and the mind to create one pointed focus upon the real, achieve the breakthrough into liberation. And that happens at the very darkest moment of the world, when everyone has lost hope, when everyone fears planetary destruction, when everyone sees madness all around and criminality and brutality and inhumanity and destruction of the environment and the social orders and all else that was representing goodness. And in those last days, one sees the corruption of all the religious orders and traditions, and all of the values and all of the understandings of what nobility is collapse and are lost to the world at large. And people lose the ability to think clearly and critically. They become naive, they become stupid, they fall under delusional mandates that bring them ever closer to their own destruction, because they have lost touch with the truth of the infinite intelligence of God that we are to be images and embodiments of. And we have lost all of our worthiness by entering into the drive for sensory enjoyment, and have lost connection to the supersensory real. And in that loss of consciousness, we have fallen into the phantasms of the lowest level of mind, of the subconscious hell realms that exist to plague and oppress every ego. And now the world at large has become such a hell realm writ large. And it is in that moment, when everyone has become hopeless and atheistic and lost in materialistic concerns and filled with suicidal tendencies and aggressivity and paranoia, and the greed for what they can possess quickly because they see it will all soon be lost. As the Titanic goes down, only those who are awakened will seek the lifeboat of divine love and will find a way to be saved from the maelstrom of destruction brought about by our own refusal to realize our nature as beings of light and of purity and of love. And if so, it is through the return to the reverence for our own seventh chakra, for the holiness of our own being, the making of our bodies and our lives into temples and divine plays, charitras, performances of divine presence. Through the devotion to the Supreme, we become magnetically drawn into the energy field of that supreme wisdom and willpower and creative intelligence and love that enables us to transform our lives once again into the image of God and to live as gods and goddesses in a world designed to be a realm of celestial delight. We can see in this mandala the three levels that we must go through. The Nataraja is the imaginary, the archetypal imaginary level, where Shiva is depicted as other than the dwarf ego, but the ego is being danced upon by karma and will be even more heavily danced upon once the dwarf takes vows to overcome its lower tendencies and will realize its own inability to surmount its obsessions with the enjoyments of the body and the romantic and pornographic fantasies that it harbors in its mind so that it can never reach a sacred silence in meditation. And it is this imaginary that creates the need for the burning of the fire of yoga in order to free us from that dwarfish condition in which we have fallen from Shiva consciousness, so that we can rise again through being awakened by our own pain. But it's the pain of the shame of having failed ourselves that now will lead us to disgust with the ego and the desire to rise into that consciousness and beauty of divine love, of generosity, of desirelessness, of freedom from objectification of the other. And this will enable us to realize the ultimate subjectivity, the ultimate consciousness that directs the flow of time and even the flow of the stream of consciousness of everyone's mind. All is choreographed, all is determined by that supreme intelligence. But that is only the imaginary. And then we move into the Shiva Lingam, the symbolic dimension. And there we understand the code itself, the logic of worlds and the logic of the understanding of how Logos became Logos in the first place. That consciousness that is the intelligence behind the logic that creates, sustains, and transforms all worlds is contained within the lingam, which is itself a symbolic representation of the real, the light, the flame, the eternal flame of the consciousness of God that is our own immortality and our own transcendental luminosity that has the power of expanding and augmenting to such a velocity and a wattage that it wipes out the illusion of the world and brings all into the singularity of the white light before the collapse of any quantum wave function into the illusion of a matrix. And in that freeing of all the information, all the particles back into the waves and the waves back into the unified field, ultimate freedom and absolute presence and the unity of God consciousness distributed throughout the infinity of the field of presence, then redreams the world in fractal infinite dimensions, from the most macrocosmic to the most microcosmic, and to cosms within cosms within cosms of every possibility and permutation of experience that can be offered by the infinite intelligence of God. And all of us have played through every level to get to this point where we are now ready to graduate from the creation and take our stance in unity with the Creator. And so Mahashivratri is that moment at the end of time when Shiva opens the window of opportunity to enable us to rise beyond the world despite all the baggage of many lifetimes that we are carrying, to be freed instantly through grace, if only we seek that grace wholeheartedly and are willing to let go of the identification with the ego. Shiva makes it absolutely simple. But we must shed the imaginary and we must shed the symbolic and abide in the real, in the flame that burns away our karma, burns away all past sanskaras, burns away the vasanas of the mind, so that our consciousness again becomes a silent, holy space, the pure emptiness, the shunyata, that then allows the fullness of God's presence to enter and consummate the union that brings about the ultimate realization of reality in every plane simultaneously. And the final revelation is itself redemption. Shiva asked me to make it very clear to everyone how to attain the Absolute. And if you have clear instructions as to what you must accomplish step by step in order to attain Paramashiva, in order to merge into the Supreme Sun, and become one with that essence from which we derive our being. This final return is what enables us to then function on this plane as avataric spiritual warriors who are able to accomplish the transformation of the world on this plane as ambassadors and emanations and angels and demon slayers who are necessary for the accomplishment of the ending of Kali Yuga. This is known in Sanskrit as the recruitment of the Shiv Sena, Shiva's army. He recruits those yogis who have the courage, the intelligence, the loyalty, the power of love, the fearlessness to function in Shiva's army as those warriors who understand the illusion that Maya is and are willing to face that illusion with the power of truth and be victorious. And this is also the moment of the descent of Shiva, the descent of Shaktipat, of grace, and of Shiva directly, as never before in history, to all of those who seek to be one with the mind of God and the heart of God without any separation, and to graduate from this school of life and to no longer pursue lesser goals that require going through the cycle of birth and death, and to learn from pain and suffering. But one can learn everything in the mind of God with absolute awe and delight, of joy, of infinite fascination, wonderment, astonishment, and the absolute ecstasy of knowing God's sense of humor as your own. The beauty and the intelligence and the power of God are all on offer to those who wish to know the taste of that, to whatever extent you wish to imbibe it, to become embodiments of it. It is free for the taking. But you must be willing to let go of everything else. So there are seven stages. So if we want to make an ascent into the ultimate dimension of inner space that is also outer space, if we want to reach the transcendent and unify it with the immanent plane of the hologram and bring all the power of God to bear in this plane that is filled with suffering, then we must prepare a rocket ship that is able to rise beyond the level of ego mind and to reach the super consciousness that is the mind of God. So we have to load it with fuel. That fuel is the burning of the negredo, the willingness to burn away all of those aspects of the ego that are ugly or unworthy, or defiled, or in some way completely earthbound, and causes of deterioration rather than of upliftment. All of that must be burned in the first stage of the rocket. And we must check that every system is functioning, and that the systems are all in communication. And that requires making sure you are keeping all of the vows of a satyogi, because it is only those that will make you know that you are accurately functioning as a spiritual being. If you cannot keep any of those 10 yamas and niyamas, then you know that the rocket is not yet ready to take off, and that if you tried, it would crash or it would miss its target. So the countdown phase is very important. And we must load on extra fuel with devotion, with the conversion of our values and our attention and our seriousness of purpose. Once we achieve the first stage firing, then we are ready to blast off. What is our rocket really made of? It's what we call here the upper death drive. There's an inner yearning within everyone to rise to the highest level of consciousness that you can attain. Everyone wants to blast off of the ego. But in order to blast off, one must have a totally unified will to leave behind the phenomenal plane and the ego mind in order to attain the infinite. So I'm going to write all of the other stages. So the blast off to reach that level where we are moving outside of the orbit of the ego mind requires us to de-objectify our perception, not to objectify anyone or anything or make that into an object of desire, because that will hold you back. Then you must break free of gravity. So there must be no more pull to come down back into the ego. There must be the determination to remain free. And that determination must be established with such consistency that you will achieve the complete detachment from all of whatever were the objects within the world, within samsara, that held you in an identity that is earthbound. But all attachments have to be let go. If there's even one remaining, you will not be able to break free. And then you must lock on course. And that means the attention must be turned away from the world to the source of your own consciousness. That is where the Supreme Sun is. It's not located in the world of the five senses. It's located in the purity of the intelligence that is the ultimate self that perceives reality, the ultimate level of your selfhood that can only be attained by jettisoning all of the surface levels. And once you have locked on course, then you will be present to the luminosity of the higher mind. You will be present to the power of consciousness that will magnetically now draw you even higher. and it will augment the sense of mahabhava, the sense of total devotional joy to become one with God again. And that will increase more and more as the rocket continues through space. Then you will transcend the noosphere. You will go beyond the final, let's say, orbiting shell around the ego. You will go beyond thought and reach that level of consciousness that is total silence. And then in the total silence, the total emptiness of mind, you will then realize the presence of God coming into the emptiness, which will create a blast of bliss that will suddenly explode your heart and your mind into infinity, and the ego will be gone in that explosion of joy and of wonder. And that fire with the heart completely burning will burn away all the remaining vasanas of the mind, all the sanskaras from past lives, and purification will be complete. And then you will be ready for the final stage of reaching the sun and entering its corona and dissolving into the light of the sun and becoming part of its essence once again. And so in this last phase of history, we go from the tiniest coronavirus to the corona of the infinite supreme sun, and all the levels of being are unified once more. So everyone will know what stage you are on in this rocket journey to the source of our being. But this is the night in which, if your rocket takes off, it is guaranteed you will reach the sun. But you have to take off without looking back and without leaving behind anything that you would want to come back for, and to enter that infinite consciousness which has no past, no future, but is eternal presence and eternal creative intelligence to create and destroy worlds in an instant. And every instant in any world could be millions of years, but you are beyond time itself in pure infinite consciousness that is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. This is our procedure, this is our task in order to be able to fulfill the functions that Shiva requires in these final hours of Kali Yuga. May you be willing and able to serve God as God requests. So let's meditate together. Bring your attention inward. And as you relax the body and slow down the mind, focus the attention on that moment of the kumbhaka between the out-breath and the in-breath. when the body is most peaceful and least vibrating, and abide in that center between the two breaths, in the peace and the serenity, and even between two heartbeats. And abide between two thoughts in the silence of absolute presence. Enter into the stillness with the attention completely focused on the source of your awareness. And travel inward into the luminous mind, into the awareness that is filled with Shakti, and feel the Shaktipat filling the body as well as the consciousness, filling with a shock of power, of awakening, of presence to the fact that you are awareness, you are not the body, not the mind, not an entity. You have no form, no boundaries, no limits. And now you shed all of the identifications with the ego. You shed all thoughts. You make the mind into a sacred temple of silence. And emptied of all mental objects, but with purity and luminous white light filling the space, you feel the presence of the fullness of God consciousness enter in. And you surrender and become one with the Supreme Presence. And by giving your love, your mind, your heart, your will, all that you are to this Supreme Being, you merge into oneness that is complete. The self that contains the world as its dream, the self that is both immanent and transcendent, the self that is untouched by karma, and yet the ordainer of all that happens. And in your surrender, when it is complete, the vibrational frequency of your consciousness will rise into that subtlety and that blissfulness, that ecstasy that brings you into the superconscious presence of the Absolute. And all that is the egoless shining of the infinite self. expanding into a singularity that contains the cosmos. All-encompassing, all-pervading, a unified field that is the Supreme Godhead. And you are that. If any ego thoughts arise, they must burn in this fire of truth, this fire of love, until purity is absolute. And the self is free of every bondage. And now we are to return into the phenomenal plane, but as avataric messengers, spiritual angelic warriors, healers, prophets, sages, lovers of God, insane with love, in ecstasy of the total consciousness of the Supreme Self, fully realized. Back into the body that is only consciousness, into the world that is only dream, into the life that includes death of the ego as its birth, and into the power that is beyond all doubt and all illusion. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May you abide as the luminous manifestation of Paramashiva and never forget who you are or fall into defiled states that are disloyal to your status as a server of the Supreme Self. And may we all be victorious and succeed in the mission that we have been given. And may you abide in the light that knows no further darkness. Namaste.
Namaste.
The floor is open if anyone has any comments or questions or want to talk about your experience on this Mahashivratri. Please. I think there's a microphone that'll come to you.
I have a question concerning this process of lifting, because, and this is to be honest within me and sharing this with you, because I feel that I have attachments and that is holding me back in following you during the meditation.
Of course.
I felt physically I was sweating and I knew I have these attachments to people, which in a way you could see as it's fine because you love people. So what's wrong with loving people? But it's loving certain people.
That's right. But the question is, who is loving them? Are you loving them from ego consciousness or from God consciousness? You see, people deserve the supreme love because ego love always comes with quid pro quos. It's not unconditional love. And I'm sure you've had relationships that you called love that may have turned into something else that might have been closer to hate or indifference or etc. So if we want to give unconditional love and the purity of love that can itself uplift the other, not just coddle their ego or collude with their intentions and self-images, but to raise them also into God consciousness, we must first be in that state. And if the Titanic is going down, if you love someone, you'll let them come into the lifeboat. You'll help them. And you will make sure you're not on the Titanic so that you can actually be awakened to give the help when needed and not be listening to the music or gambling in the casino while the ship is going down, which is what most relationships are about. So when you love without attachment, then you are loving the other as God, and that enables them to vibrate and realize themselves as God, and to be freed of their own attachments that have held back their graduation from this school of life.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, the meditation has the purpose of making you realize that sweat and those obstacles so that you can make a reconsideration if it's worth cutting the attachment at the lower level in order to create a relationship at a higher level in which there is that unity and upliftment for all. So the more that your awareness of the obstacles increase, the more you are ripe for the letting go of them. Bajra.
Thank you. So beautiful, this teaching. I was wondering, when you said that Mahashivaratri is a window of opportunity to kind of go beyond all of the baggage of lifetimes, does that drop you off in stage 7, or is it somewhere before then?
You have a window of opportunity, but it is up to you to take advantage of that window. So how high you go, how many stages you get through will be up to you. And if you are determined enough and loving enough and willing to let go of all of those attachments and other obstacles, then yes, you can go all the way. Shiva will bring you all the way. But the love of Shiva will be the reciprocal of your love for Shiva. And so the more you have wholehearted and total love for what Shiva signifies, which is that total absolute consciousness beyond all worlds, the more that you want to know and be that again, the more quickly your rocket ship will reach the sun and be dissolved into its light.
And is there an integration process in once you dissolve and you're still embodied?
Well, you are not embodied. That's what you realize. You never were embodied. Only the ego was. But you will be able to recognize that all bodies are the consciousness of Shiva. And so you're both totally embodied as the cosmos, the Mahasutratma, and you can be embodied in any of those sheaths that lead into the Anamaya Kosha of an individual human organism. But you are beyond all of them in truth. And in the final stage of merging into the sun, you go even beyond Sat. Shiva is beyond Sat. Sat is the first creation of Shiva, being. But Shiva is even beyond being. And it is that that cannot be imagined or conceived of by the human mind. And so that must have burned away to reach that level.
Liberating truth. Thank you.
You talked about the nigredo as the fuel, and there's a... can you talk about the paradox of keeping locked on course and looking up, looking to God, cleaving to God, and going down, or the process of bringing the nigredo up to be able to process through it and let it go? And it's so distasteful, it's so... like, it's hard to disidentify from it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, that's why locking on is stage four, and the burning of the nigredo is stage one. You have to fire the rockets based on the fuel of wanting to be free of all of those unconscious, vulgar, defiled tendencies, fantasies, and... let's say, sanskaras from this life and other lives. So it requires a determination to bring it all up, right? Bring it on and then burn it. And you have to know it. You can't repress it or pretend it's not there. Denial is not a winning strategy in this game. You have to face it and swallow the shame of failure and defeat and having fallen and whatever your mind defines it as, whether as sin or just as selfishness, narcissism, whatever paradigm you want to put it in, whether religious or psychological or whatever other way, ethical, metaphysical, you will see that those baser levels of consciousness are not worthy of you, and they've created all of your suffering and self-hatred. And you want to burn it. You have to get to that desire to burn it as quickly as possible to be free, to become the pure being you really are again, and not tarnished and defiled by the stains of the waste products of an ego. So that purification has to happen first. And it may last a long time, but the more you're determined to rise above the earth plane, the more it will come and be able to be burned. But you have to be willing to release it into the fire and not try to hold on to it for some reason, because then it's ballast rather than fuel and you won't get off the ground. But once you have done that, or at least most of the Nigredo, maybe not all, but most of it, then you will be able to turn your attention inward and focus, because your heart will have opened sufficiently to have such love for God that it overcomes the gravity of the ego. And then, as you get closer to the sun, that fire of God's presence burns away whatever remains of vasanas, thought forms in the mind that are not of God. Okay. Can this come?
Thank you. Thank you for this teaching. It was very powerful. I was intrigued by this. Your emphasis on a not just a unified will, but a totally unified will. Because it seems to me that one can consciously have the will to this and that, but this totally unified, is that referring to the Nigredo you were just saying that you have to, or is it something different?
This is a little more subtle than that. Uh-huh. This is already assuming the Nigredo has been burned, but there is still a multitasking ego that functions at different levels at different times because of its seva, but also because of its remaining attachments to different people and to different activities that would give enjoyment, that kind of thing. All of that has to be released so that the will is totally unified for ascension. And there has to be no desire for anything in the samsaric realm. And then one will be raised into God consciousness.
So would you say that it's like a total renunciation to any interest?
Yes.
In the...
Yes. If there is a function that must be performed, it has to be performed because it's the will of God, not because there's any ego involvement whatsoever. And we allow God's will, which is the Tao, to move us rather than to have any personal intention or personal identification on this realm. We belong to God and our identity is that of Shiva, not of any jivatma. Right? Mm-hmm. So there may be in some egos, not necessarily in yours, but in some dissociated fragments, that one is not consciously even aware of that function outside of the threshold of consciousness or sometimes take over. And so until there is a central will that is able to cohere all of those fragments into a single mental constitution that hasn't been fragmented, all of that must fuse again and be annealed in the sense that all of the different separate nodes of consciousness must all be pointing toward the same goal without any alteration of the orientation or direction of the consciousness, or one's moral and spiritual compass will not show true north. You can't lock on target accurately.
And would you say that this is for the blast off, right, the unified?
Well, this is for all of the phases, but it's even more for the locking on target phase.
Oh, okay.
Because you need total consciousness to do that.
And would you say that one can be in one and then fall back if the totally unified will is not there? That there were.
That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Or else one will go off course. One may not go all the way down, but one could plateau at a certain level and not get closer to the sun because there's still some desire to enjoy the symbolic realm, the archetypal realm, right? There can be some very celestial enjoyments that you think, oh, this couldn't be an obstacle, right? Because look at it. This is why the sages say, don't get sidetracked by having siddhis, because you may find that you have superpowers, super normal capacities when you're in the third or fourth stage already. And if you start wanting to, you know, impress people with those or inflate your ego because now you're an empowered being, you will crash. And so it's very important. There's absolute humility and surrender in order to get all the way to the sun.
Thank you.
I'm getting emotional, and I think it's because I'm feeling this disgust for the ego or disgust for tendencies, things holding me back, lower energies. And there's a, now there's a strong desire to be rid of it. I think my question is, does, before blast off, is it necessary for a huge heap of nigredo to be burned through to then go? Because I feel that every time, or most of my meditations, I'm burning nigredo, but it's a little. And then when I'm out of meditation and I fall slightly or less slightly into enjoyments, it builds back up again. So I feel that I'm on this up and down of burning and regrowing and burning and regrowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. And so your rocket is being tested, but it's not ready for flight, and you haven't suited up and gotten into the cockpit yet and started to fire the engines. But what you are doing is preparing you for that. When you have wholehearted desire for liberation and no desire anything for anything on the horizontal plane, that's when the rocket really takes off. You have to have that desire already, even though there will be obstacles that will show up, like attachments and other things that come from the subconscious. But you'll be able to burn them then, because your intention will have become so unified that they will be recognized as obstacles rather than distractions that interest you. And that disgust is a very important first stage of being certain that you don't want the ego anymore, and what you want is your real self.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ah, Ashira.
I have two questions. First, how long is this window of opportunity going to be open?
Shiva doesn't like that question.
I had the feeling. And then the other one is, you said it is possible to go through all the stages within that window. I mean, it seems, obviously to the ego, it seems very not possible, because there are so many things that need to be done, right? Purified, releasing all attachments. So, I mean, if we would sit down and say, okay, I'm just going to meditate until I'm through, how would you, like, what can we do in order to just get it over, in a way? I don't know, yeah.
Okay, so your first question showed that you're not ready for it's now or never. You want to delay. How long do I have? How long can I wait? Right?
But all of this
that you said is, again, it's the ego's narrative to convince you that it'll take too long. It's not possible. Why even try? Let's just enjoy, live merry, tomorrow we die, and so what? We'll go around the cycle again. We didn't make it. See, the ego will convince you that that's all you can have. It's not the case. How quick it is will depend on how hot the fire is. If you make the fire very hot, all the impurities burn very quickly. It doesn't take a lot of time. Ramana did it in one afternoon. You can do it very quickly, but you have to be willing to go to that fire that is the death of the ego, and he was willing to go through death. If you're not willing to go through ego death, then yeah, it'll take a long time. But it's that that determines whether you'll be victorious or not. And that will be determined by your love for God. If your love for God is greater than your love for your ego, you go up very quickly. If there's still more love for the ego, if you like to look in the mirror more than you like to look at God's light, then you find that you're not ready for that letting go. But once you realize you're bodiless and you want only Shiva's love and light, and you realize you don't even exist on this plane except as awareness, that awareness then rises to its highest frequency and realize that you are the infinite light and have never been anything but that.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
So wait, let me say this to sum up. Don't try to use the ego mind to figure out this journey. That's what has to be burned. You can't figure this out with a narrative. It is letting go of all narratives. It's silence that is the liberation. So the more you try to think your way there, the more you're actually going distant from it and creating defenses against liberation. Okay? The ego doesn't exist. It's not real. You have to see through that illusion. The moment you see through the illusion, you are free. There's no time that it takes. You have to realize you are unreal as an ego. You are a delusional entity. Awaken from the delusion. It's instantaneous. And you are the light. It's really very simple.
In this awakening, can we still come back?
There's no coming or going. There's only the one self. There's nothing but the one self. So these questions are based on a dualistic mindset that has no clue about reality. It's delusional. Therefore, you can't think your way clear of it. You have to surrender. It's only in total surrender of heart and mind that God's intelligence comes and clarifies everything. But your ego mind can never understand it.
Well, I ask this last question because sometimes I have these openings and realizations, and that everything feels it feels so simple that I can see how this never can be grasped by the ego, but I don't remain there. So therefore, I mean, maybe it's just it's not the full thing.
No, it's not. But it's enough of a glimpse that should enable you to want to burn the nigredo,
yes.
So you stay there and don't come back into the ego. That's the key.
Okay.
But the tendency to fall back into the ego has to be burned and eliminated. Once that's done, you'll keep rising. You won't fall again.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Hanuman.
Thank you, Shunya. I feel like what...
Talk a little louder.
I feel like what is coming up is that I want to speak to the narrative that comes up that I'm never good enough. I'm never able to actually make the commitment to doing the work that needs to be done. And every time I hear all the steps, I get stuck at the first one and I say, I can't do it. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you say that has to do with do you love God enough, or is there enough willpower to free yourself from attachments? It always goes back to the same narrative of never being good enough, and never wanting it enough, never having enough strength or willpower to do it. And just now when you were speaking, and you said you can't do it from a place of listening to those voices.
That's
and
right.
It made me feel like by saying it, by putting it into the space, it allows me to see that that's an unreal narrative that I keep saying to myself, And that's what keeps me in that narrative of never being good enough and never having the willpower to really do it. That's and so right. I feel like for me right now to speak it out into the space is a way of bringing it up, bringing that negredo out of my mind where it just spins around and keeps that narrative alive and being able to put it into the fire.
Mm-hmm. That's fine, but it'll keep spinning anyway. This won't get you out of it. You see, it is true that every ego has a delusional narrative similar to yours. There's nothing special about your ego's narrative. It's not any worse than anyone else's, probably. The point is, no ego wants God and wants to go through ego death. It doesn't. So you can't get there through the ego. But you are not the ego. And there can be a breakthrough of awakening to realize that the ego is your own creation, an invention, a narrative that you have brought about and that you reinforce constantly. But you're the master of the narrative. You're not the I that's in the narrative. That's the character you're playing. You created that script. That's all that is. And now you're playing that script. But just like an actor who plays Hamlet, you know, when he gets off stage and goes home, he realizes he's not Hamlet. That was just a character he played. This character now is obsolete. It doesn't serve you anymore. You can create a new character. That one was probably created when you were 3 years old or less. It's a totally obsolete, outdated, and completely inadequate narrative for your life. So you have to let it die and not know who you are long enough to then realize who you really are. And when you do this, you will go through an interim of depersonalization. And this is what is scary to one. That's why you stay in the comfort zone of the old ego narrative. But if you're willing to go through this very benign depersonalization, in which you will be held by your love for God, you will be drawn up into the soul realm and beyond into the realization of the God self, that will then enable you to function as an avatar of that real being who is immortal, eternal, and infinitely powerful. So that's who you really are. But you have to awaken and break free of this psychotic delusion that your ego is holding on to. But the ego itself will not do it. So you have to understand that its thoughts are not your thoughts. You are being hypnotized by this program. And you, to come out of hypnosis, you have to silence the mind and turn your heart to God. And then you will kill it and be free instantly. It won't take a lot of time. Okay? I hope that clarifies it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So I reached this... I was hoping you could speak to like where this lies on the stages. I reached this place that feels like a threshold in meditation. And it feels to me like the only thing I can describe it is like a sine wave. Like it's very, very unified. And then the meditation is over. And I come back and it's sort of like slamming back into my body, and I have to sort of like make sure my feet are on the ground, and it's time to eat dinner, and I'm like, how can I eat dinner after that? Like, and I'm wondering if you can speak to like how to integrate that a little bit better.
Skip dinner.
I didn't, but it's a little bit challenging to like reintegrate into this.
Yeah, well, you see, you still have the I thought. So the default position is I'm a bodily being going about a petty life on the phenomenal plane. But if you would realize, no, who you really are is this infinite unified field of consciousness, then the body will be able to get its dinner and do whatever without your re-identifying with it. You do not have to come down. Direct your body with remote control. Don't go back in and identify as if you are that organism. You're not.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing. Like it feels disorienting almost.
It's disorienting because you've got two systems that are not in sync. Mm-hmm. You've got to stop the ego system so that the higher system gets put in its place. Mm-hmm. And then once you install that higher coherence, the ego will no longer come back and haunt you.
So to perhaps like hold the silence and hold the space.
All of life should be considered a meditation that you never get up from, mm-hmm. okay? Because you're already up as the real self. And then let the wu wei, the effortless, actionless action of the Tao determine all the movements of the body without your having to be involved at all.
Okay. And in regards to like the threshold, like I feel like I'm moving it, like the space is in the emptiness, the vastness is in front of me. But when maybe it's because I'm identifying as a body still, I check in with the rest of the space around me, and I'm like, oh, there's my legs still, or like I can still feel bits of my personhood.
No, that's okay. You can feel them without identifying with them. Mm. And then they merge into the dream. They go into the background instead of the foreground. And the foreground is the infinite light. And then in the background, the dream may still be happening with fascinating things that happen, but you're not involved. You're not fascinated by that anymore. You're fascinated only by the Supreme Being and that infinite mind. But the body goes and becomes a manifestation of that without your falling back into the little self.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Thank you. No more. There's one. Okay. This might be the last one, but go ahead.
So, I guess I'll wait for the microphone.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I feel this great deal of obsession with killing my ego and serving God the best way that I can. And then there's those ego judgments that are like, you're not doing this right. You're not going to reach God because you're not doing this, this, this. And sometimes I'll scoff at it and be like, ugh, silly ego. You know, I know you're not real. And then it goes away. But I guess my question is, if I have this feeling in me where I want to burn off Alyssa, I don't want to be this person anymore. Sometimes I don't even feel like this person. Mm-hmm. Is that ego?
Well, let's put it this way. There is still ego. The decision is being made from within ego.
Right.
And because the ego also has its alter ego, super ego, other, you'll get judgments then that come that put you even more into the ego rather than burning it. You'll be more subject to it. So you have to become the witness of both the ego's main desire to be free and the superego's judgment and creating of obstacles, right? Mm-hmm. And disidentify with all of it. And only when the mind is totally silent and all of the fragments can't reach you anymore and lure you into belief that you are a bodily being and or even a mental being, then you will be able to be free of it. But the one who is free of it has no desire to be free of it. Mm-hmm. You already are free. And it's that realization that you are liberated and that you don't need to use the thinking, languaging mind in order to know who you are and what is real. It will free you from falling back into ego processes.
Okay. So my ego is the one creating the desire for liberation.
Yes, but it's the healthy part of your ego.
Okay.
The ego that is already in the upper death drive.
I see.
But there may be other parts of the ego that aren't in the rocket ship yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you start to fire up, they say, no, no, we're not ready yet.
Okay. Right? I get it. Okay. Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. We have more music coming, right?
Yes.
To end the evening. So I'm going to get out of the way and let the ineffable singers bring us into another Shiva trance. Namaste.
Your love.
self unites us all. One self lives in all beings. One heart is all the same. One heart saves us from suffering. One heart saves us from suffering. One self unites us all. One self lives in all beings. One heart is all the same. One heart saves us from suffering. One heart saves us from suffering. And that one God is with us now. Doesn't matter if we know how. One presence fills us with love. From within and from above. One power, zero point, nowhere and all containing. Whose rays of glory shall anoint those who awaken and recognize the light of our Lord Shiva has arrived, has arrived, has arrived. Bring light that is new morning, a new beginning to restore a dying world. Let's all look at Shiva, the dancing giver of new life. Let's all grab our eagles to dive into his blissful love. Into his light, into his light, into his light. Let's empty out the mental garbage, turn ourselves into holy temples, commune with infinite might. So our paradise of Gaia restore. Shiva come, Shiva come into our hearts to make us one. Shiva come, Shiva come, Shiva come, bring the light, make things right tonight,
of reality, O giver of
warriors aside, into the light they fly.
Formal adjournment after that, since people aren't getting up. Thank you. That was beautiful singing, both in the beginning and in the end. And it's good to know that there are such creative artists of all kinds in the Sangha, using all of the capacities of our creativity to uplift our souls and bring us into the clarity and coherence that music can entrain us into and enable us to deepen our meditations as our hearts open in song. And so we want to encourage even more community singing to happen as we go forward, and other ways in which we express our energies that want to move upward and be sublimated into higher levels. But I thank you all for being present on this beautiful sacred day, and to know that it really is the moment in which we have to take that decision for transcendence. This isn't just another traditional holiday of Hinduism that we're celebrating. It really is what this holiday represents, in the same way that the Christian recognition of the revelation and the apocalypse, and the Muslim recognition of the coming of the Mahdi, and the Jewish recognition of the Messianic age and the coming of the world to come, all of the religions and traditions are pointing to the same truth, and now is the moment when that is being realized. And it doesn't matter what name one uses for the Supreme Being, because all names apply to only that oneself. But by moving beyond the name and the idea into the realization of the truth that you are the oneself, to really get it, to really let go of the ego illusion, you will find the wonder and joy of your real self, and the power of God's will uplift you easily and fully into your liberated state. So don't allow any false, imaginary level thoughts to hold you back from your ascension and your salvation, literally, from the nightmare of Kali Yuga. And be free before that nightmare, before the angel of death, before the clouds of darkness reach you. Be the beacon of light who cannot be touched by any of that negative energy, and help to clear away the clouds and bring the new dawn to our world. Thank you all. Namaste. We are adjourned.